We're in this series, and I may actually push it out one more week, only because just as Ryan and I sat down a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to figure out how do I make this practical. I'm really trying to figure out how do we lean into finding what God's direction, not first for us individually, each of us in the room, but even second for us as a church, for the choices that were made even 200 years ago at a building downtown. It's gone now. Actually, there's a parking deck there. And how those people that started out actually in the blockhouse, if you actually do the history on it, knowing that we're coming up on our 200th anniversary, but we're also coming through a season of just trying to determine what it is that God wants us to do. And I say it that way because we all have ideas. When I came here almost 4 years ago, I had my ideas. You all had your ideas, and those are all fine, but I think part of what we have to stretch ourselves through is thinking about what is it that God wants us to do. And so this morning, I want us to just go back through a little bit where we've been, because repetition is good. I'm learning that. You remember, I've said it the last couple weeks, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. The things that we think are important, the things that we value, where we spend our time and our talent, and our treasures, determine where we're going to put our energies. We get to tell tomorrow. And that's part of the conversation we'll have here in a few moments with Ryan and Rochelle and Emma and Gabe. Maybe not so much the kids, because they're like, we don't talk. But that's like, we'll see how to leverage that. Because it's really about amazing things when you think about, and if we sort of peel it backwards and start with where we are this morning and look at when Ryan was here about a year ago and what they were doing. And then if you actually follow through on some things that they did in 2015, and then if you even follow through the idea of when they got married. And so for all of us, we really have to sit in those moments and say, okay, God, you've led us through this. And so we have to lean into that. So I just want to go back through real quickly to remind us that, remember we said the first week that God cares more about what? Who before do and why before what? In other words, God is more concerned about who you are than what you're doing. And again, I push on the idea that you really need to be in his word, because you can't know who you are unless you're doing those things. And then the doing part actually flows out of that in a very intentional way. And then when we do that, it's more about why are we doing what we're doing? So the idea of doing a picnic on September 8th is a wonderful thing. But if the why is just for us to feel a little bit of fellowship, that's not enough. And I will say to you, that's not enough for what God intends to do through us. And he wants to stretch us. And I know when we all showed up Monday night early, we were ahead of here for the Girl Scouts. We weren't quite sure what it was going to look like. But I can tell you that as I stood at the door out here and greeted each family as they came in, it was amazing to receive their sense of generosity and sense of encouragement, because we were doing this for them. It's like, why are you doing this? And it's like, well, because we just want to say thank you. Thanks for using our space, and thanks for allowing us to bless you, and let's have some fun. And then the second week we talked about how do we get wisdom. And remember I shared the story of this idea of the walk, ask, decide. That it really is, we have to be faithful in walking with God. And then in walking with God, we have to ask God, what do you want to do in me and through me? And then we have to decide to act on that. And sometimes we move in the right direction. Sometimes we don't move. But remember, what is it about wisdom? The one of the things that when you make a mistake and you fail, wisdom comes from that. And so in that, we want to make sure. And then last week, which is really, I've been sitting in this for a while now, and even shared this with my colleagues at the presbytery level, to understand that we need to trust that God's in the midst of it. We have to trust the process. We have to trust that God, like we looked last week, it's the Spirit's prompting. You remember the story of Betty, the 70-year-old woman who's driving past the jail, and she realizes that, and God puts a nudge on her heart, and she knows she has these Bibles, and she's going to drop them off, and she thinks that suffices, and then she finds out that that's not what God wants from her. And then the next part of the story is she actually ends up going into the jail. And the thing that I was blown away with, that at age 90, she is still going into the jail and ministering to a group of women. But it started first with this desire that was in her heart to make a difference. And that desire came from God. But in understanding the Spirit's prompting, then we have to also live in the tension. And I love this phrase because it's certain uncertainty. This idea that we're certain about certain things, but we're also certain about the fact that sometimes things don't work the way we want. And so you have to figure out what it is that God would use in that. And then the third point from last week was this idea of predictable resistance. There are going to be things that come against us. There's going to be budgetary issues. There's going to be people who don't like the direction we're going in, or people who think we ought to go in a different direction, or people who just don't want to be part of that. And that's always the risk. This week was what's called uncommon confidence, that we have to sit in the truth that God is in charge, that it is His economy, it's His provision, it's His gifting of the people that are in the building this morning, the people who God has brought here to be part of us, even Ryan and his family, to come and share their story about what it is that God wants to do through their journey to help bless us and to encourage us to think about what it means to be a Christ follower. But you know, the problem is that for too many people, it's the starting something that stops them, the idea of actually doing something. And so we need to wrestle through as a church. And not just as a church, what I think each of us in the room need to wrestle through in your own faith journey with Jesus to see what it is that He wants to do in and through you. And so with that, as Ryan and his family are coming up, I just check out this video that tells a little bit about Destiny Rescue. Would you welcome the Nicholson family, please? Got them up early, so come over here from a few miles away. But when I met Ryan for the first time, and this is why I invited him, because I think, I can't remember the series we were in, but what I wanted you to know about their story is that they were doing something that was countercultural. That normally when you have an amazing young family, you're leaning into making it to the right house and doing the right things and driving the right cars and life is comfortable and you're making all these choices. And you all made an intentional choice to say, we're going to do something radically different. And it's like, that's crazy. I mean, who gives up the nice house and the comfortable cars that make life enjoyable? And then even to say to bring your kids into it. I mean, this isn't like you're some young couple that's off. You're young, but you're not some young couple. It's not like right out of college you're going to go, you know, see the world, but you're actually inviting your family into this. And so this morning I just thought, in a way for us to really drill down on how do you find God's direction, both individually, but then corporately, even with the things you've done. So, I mean, Ryan, your full-time job is I
work in construction.
Construction.
Yeah, construction safety.
So as I was thinking about Nehemiah, and I just asked him this, so how long does it take to build a school? Because he builds schools,
roughly,
right?
A year and a half to 2 years.
Okay, so we'll say 2 years. We're going to look at this again next week, but Nehemiah built the walls around Jerusalem. Do you know how long it took him with his team of people? Because they understood it had to get done. Any idea? Anybody have any idea? Do you remember the story? 52 days. Around the city of Jerusalem, walls that had been torn down for 140 years. And so this guy is leading teams of people who are master carpenters, and you'll find that actually in the story of Nehemiah, he at one point, as he's leaning in the battle, literally, to build the wall, everybody's mocking him, the contractors actually have a sword in one hand and the trowel in the other, and it's like, how do you do that? You know, so with that. But why don't you just share, since the last time you were here, just where you're at and what's going on?
I do remember the series. I saw the bulletin this morning. I was looking through my Bible. I still had it in there. How to Neighbor.
Oh, How to Neighbor. Right.
How to Neighbor.
Perfect. Yeah.
Was the series you were in back in February of last year. And in February, we had just returned from a trip to Thailand and Cambodia as a family. And I'll back up a little bit from there, because if you remember last time I was here, I probably told you. We weren't, like Pastor Tom said, we weren't living a life honoring to God, and we were living way beyond our means. We weren't being, I think, good stewards with what God had blessed us with, and we could feel it. We could feel the stress, not only in our marriage, but in our family as a result of that. And Rochelle came up to me one day. We had been going to a church for about 4 years, 3 or 4 years, and she came up to me in 2013 and said, I think I'm supposed to go on a mission trip. And I said, oh, really? Not knowing. So, you know, our church, very similar to your church family here. We go and do things with the community. We go on maybe some mission trips to other states and do some disaster relief, and that's usually the extent of our mission trips in within our church body. And she said, yeah, I think I'm supposed to go to Thailand and Cambodia with Destiny Rescue. I said, oh, okay. but if you recall, I had this overwhelming peace about it, just knowing that if she was in God's will, no matter where she was, whether she was in Wayne County, Ohio, or Southeast Asia, if she was in God's will, it was going to be okay. And was tough. I won't say it wasn't tough. It was just hard to see my wife of now 17 years as of yesterday going to the other side of the world. And here I am with Emma and Gabe at home for 2 weeks by myself. But we trusted in the Lord. And I could tell talking to Rochelle while she was over there during that time, thank goodness for technology, because we were able to FaceTime and Skype. And I could see her face and hear her voice on the other side of the world. And I knew God had done a mighty work in her heart. Her words to me were, "Ryan, I can't unsee what God has shown me on this trip." And I knew at that point our lives were changing drastically as a family. And fast forward a little bit, she came back from Asia safely, unharmed, and her heart changed. And at that point was when we decided we need to live our life better for God, and put Him at the center of our life and the center of our decisions. And at that point, we put our house up for sale. And to this day, I remember standing in the backyard after Rochelle and the kids were gone. They went to an apartment that we were moving into, and it was the last truckload that I had to haul of just miscellaneous stuff just laying in our garage. And I remember walking into the backyard and just looking up into the sky and saying, "Why, God, why?" Because we had, I think, become so attached, just like Tom said a few minutes ago, we had become so attached to that building, that thing, that material item. And that's what our life was revolving around, those material things. And I just stood back there and cried. That's how attached we were to it. And now looking back on what God has done through all that, the changes He's made in our lives, has just been amazing. Then fast forward two more years into 2016, we decided we wanted to take a trip as a family. And that mostly stemmed from Rochelle. She said, "I want you guys to see what I experienced and to be able to see the smiles on these rescued girls' faces that have come from utter darkness, total horror, things that we can't even imagine." I mean, we think we have struggles in our personal lives, nothing compared to what some of those children have been through. And yet they had the most amazing smiles on their faces. And Rochelle wanted us to witness that as a family. So we did. We took that next step. We went on a trip as a family just to see where God was leading us, to see if that was something that He wanted us to be more involved with. And we didn't know at that time. But He did. He had more involved for us. If you want me to, go into that.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, let's go to Rochelle for a second. Talk about what it was when you were. And again, you told me it's 25 hours. I don't know how far that
right.
is. Thousands of miles from home. I mean, what was it that led you there, and then what did you experience there?
First, what compelled me to want to go? I Destiny Rescue came and spoke at our church, and they said ways you could get involved. You could have a jewelry party, and I never said anything at the time because I'm a very quiet person. But then I eventually said to Ryan, I want to get involved, but jewelry, I don't wear jewelry, I don't sell jewelry, I don't stand up in front of people and present jewelry. So time went on, and I was very quiet about it. But I knew, excuse me.
Let's pray. Jesus, we just invite you in as we continue to hear the story. May your Holy Spirit comfort us and give us the strength to share what we need to share. The beauty of what you've done for us, and it's out of that beauty comes the opportunity that we all are here together this morning. And so especially as the Nicholson family shares, we're just grateful for the heart that you've given them. And just, God, my prayer is that just in some small way that I can my life will be different because of our friendship. And I pray that for this church, that because of them sharing their story, as we already have, you've blessed us to bless them in some small ways, and we just pray, God, now this morning that your Holy Spirit would just give us the words to share, and to let us speak from the strength that you offer to us as your people. Just pray it now in your most precious name, Jesus. And all God's people said,
okay. I apologize. This is why he does the speaking.
Yeah, I know.
I can't make it through.
This is why it matters.
But anyway, I just knew I needed to do something more. So I stepped out of my comfort zone. That's the best way I can explain it. I just knew I needed to go. And while I was over there, like he said, I couldn't unsee those things. And I actually, on the 22-hour flight home, I just prayed a lot. I wasn't sitting with my travel partner, which was good because she was motion sick the entire 22 hours. It gave me a really good chance to just pray and be silent because that's and listen. And really what I wanted was to not go home to my comfortable life, I think was my biggest prayer. Not that being comfortable is wrong, but I just knew something bigger had to happen. So originally when I came home, I believe, I don't even know if it was 1 or 2 weeks, I said, I want to move to Asia. That was right then I wanted to move to Asia. That was my thought. But I knew that was impossible because, as you brought up debt earlier, we had a ton of debt. So we needed to accept it and really step out and start living differently that way. Part of that was selling the beautiful house that we lived in, taking our kids where they've grown up out of that beautiful house, but just really focusing on living differently, getting out of debt. I'd say that was probably the biggest thing because it was a major strain, obviously financially and on our relationship. And I think once we submitted to that decision, taking that first little step, even though debt's a big step, it was a little step as far as I was concerned. And it was a process. It was learning to be patient because, like I said, I wanted to move immediately but knew it wasn't possible. So it was a true process, a lot of prayer and discouraging at times, trying to figure out how we can even manage to do this. It seems so far away. But then after our trip as a family in 2016, shortly after we got back, I think it was just weeks, my dad passed away. And then we had the next year of, I thought, well, there, you know, I wasn't even sure what God's plan was anymore because I thought, we've got to take care of my mom. There's no possible way we can move when my mom's, you know, here in Ohio, and I have a brother and sister, but I thought, I can't in my heart feel right about moving now that she's gone through this great loss. And fast forward a little bit, she actually, in that process, we went through a great deal with her. She had to file for bankruptcy and those sort of things that you don't want to see your parents go through. But we got her through that, and it was just a matter of months after that. She was diagnosed with cancer and died 15 days later.
Oh, my goodness.
So here in a couple weeks, that'll be 1 year since I lost her. But anyway, my point of telling you that was, even through all that pain, we knew God still was in control and had the plan. And though it was hard, he opened the door. So.
Right. So I go back to the points from last week, for example. The Spirit compels Paul, and it's Paul's story, but it's our story. So the Spirit compels you, crazy idea, I'm going to Thailand, sorry. I'm going to move to Asia. It's like, what does that look like? You know? And then on top of that, you come back, and you know, and there's a certain uncertainty. It's like, we're going to do this, but then there's like all these questions, and then it's like, well, maybe it's not, God's not really in it. And then you face the opposition, and it's not just the evil one, but it's like life. So, I mean, to think through the trauma of losing both your parents, it's like that. I mean, some people, it would take years to recover. And how God meets you in that, and his provision in that. And that's the piece that I want us to see in the messiness, that even in this space, there has been so many times since I've been here where we go, I don't know how this is going to work. And then God shows up. And sometimes it's because of the hard work we did. Sometimes it's just because I think, like the Israelites in ancient Israel, it's like, it's just enough for today. And if you'll be faithful with me today, I'll get you to tomorrow. And see, that goes so against everything that we have as Americans, especially living in the West. Now, it's amazing. You don't know this, but there's actually a couple students here who are exchange students. So they've come to America from places like Brazil or Italy. I mean, so there's a sense there of what of that idea of the adventure. But the idea of giving it all up, just to give up the house and all that. So I don't know. Let's see if we can go to Emma here. See, talk a little bit about what does this look like, this idea, because your dad's going to share here that you all are like you're headed to Thailand, and you're what age are you? What grade are you?
14.
14. She is a freshman in high school. I mean, you've got your whole high school years. You got the prom. You got all these. I mean, who does this? So talk a little bit. And you know, it's like we didn't really rehearse this, but what does this look like for you? What are you feeling? But what are you going to be doing? I mean, you've seen it. So you know, and I learned this on my bike ride when we talked about human trafficking. Once you know, you can't unknow. And so that knowledge then drives the way you see everything. So like when I went to Kenya, I stopped doing messy youth group games because I realized that the food that we were throwing away on Wednesday night at youth group with 100 kids, that kids in Kenya are actually, that would be their prized possession, because for their birthday, what do they want? They want 5 pounds of rice to share with their family. I mean, that's not an American kid. An American kid wants the newest, greatest technology device, right? So, Doc, can you share a little bit about just what you're sensing?
Well, it's kind of nerve-wracking to know that we're going to be leaving here and just moving over to a different country and knowing that I have to go to a different school. But it's kind of comforting to know that we'll be able to go to an international Christian school where it'll be other kids doing the same thing as us.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary, but it's amazing. Like, how cool is that? I mean, to sit with kids from all over the world, literally, and be encouraged in it. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Gabe, is there any? No, you don't? I get it. But Ryan, why don't you, either one of you, just unpack a little bit more about where the next steps are leading you. And
sure. Well, you know, Pastor Tom said so many things in the introduction about that just hit home, hit right to the heart. And he talked about taking those small steps. I think this next step is big for us, but there was a small step that led up to that. God had been working in our hearts to do more, to help these kids, to help with this ministry. And one day last November, late November, early December, I was just looking on Destiny Rescue's website because, again, he talks about the Spirit's prompting. Just being open to the Spirit's leading. And at the time, I didn't know this was going to lead to this, but I just looked on their website to see what available opportunities they had for volunteers overseas. And prior to that happening, I had two or three people tell me within a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, hey, Ryan, have you ever thought about leading team trips? I said, yeah, my family thought that they thought it would be neat if I led some team trips, which is what we went on as a family, the two-week trip. And I just happened to look online, and we felt, three of the four of us felt attached to Cambodia when we were over there. Emma felt attached to Thailand. And there was a position available on there that said team trip leader in Cambodia. And it had been on there since February of 2014. I thought, well, maybe God was leaving this open for me to apply, for us to go over as a family. So I applied for it. I didn't even talk to Rochelle about it. I just applied for it and never heard anything. Didn't hear anything for months. It was probably the end of January. I get a reply from the Thailand office, and the human resources director over there said, Ryan, sorry, we filled that position about 2 weeks ago. I thought, you got to be kidding me, God. You had that position open since 2014. I take a little step of faith, and now that door's closed. And the guy proceeded to tell me, he said, however, I reviewed your information, and we were wondering if you would consider coming to Thailand to work out of our international office to help with overseeing team trips in Thailand and Cambodia. And I was dumbfounded. So, of course, we told him we'd pray about it. And I talked to Rochelle and the kids, and we felt an overwhelming peace about it. And God's been opening doors and just aligning everything ever since that small step of applying online. Hold on, Rochelle.
Well, I just want to reiterate that we were set on moving to Cambodia. And the doors weren't opening for Cambodia. School was going to be next to impossible. I think the choice was going to be that I homeschooled them, and we didn't want that, honestly. school wasn't going to be an easy thing.
Right.
And when Jim from Thailand contacted Ryan, he said, oh, and by the way, we have this international Christian school right here in the city your kids can attend. And if your wife volunteers there in some capacity, you'll get a great discount. So
imagine that.
Yeah. And just well, the way
look at this quote. Can you go to the quote from St. Francis? I've got it in your worship program. But I think this is, anyway, so we got this great church father. What does he say? Start doing what's necessary, then what's possible, and then suddenly you're doing the impossible. So as I was thinking about our story and I'm putting this together, it's just like that quote just like hit me because it's like, okay, you start doing the necessary. You know, what's necessary? Okay, if we're going to do this, you got to get the house. You got to figure out all these things. And then you think about the pauses. So there's a comma there. So you think about what you have to lean into. How do we do this? You know, with the family, with, you know, pushing through care of parents. All, and it's like, okay, God is in the midst of that. Otherwise, it's like this could get really messy really quick. And so your story is so important to encourage each one of us in the room because it's about being in that faithful moment. Now, there's got to be moments where you're going, okay, there's a circle on the wall behind the door, pound head here because it's not working, right? Does it ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then, you know, just looking at things you have to do to prepare to move overseas, because we've committed to 2 years. So we've signed a contract with Destiny Rescue that we're going to volunteer with them for 2 years. And the reason they do that is because of the girls. You know, they've got houses full of girls over there that have come through, like I said, tremendous trauma. And if they have volunteers constantly cycling through, it doesn't make it any easier for those girls to have, you know, trying to get acquainted with someone, build a relationship with someone, then all of a sudden they're going back to the other side of the world. It's tough on them, so they try to commit to that long term. But yeah, looking forward to that, trying to get rid of everything we have here, condense ourselves to two suitcases per person to take with us is, yeah. You know, you look at stuff like that, and it's like, oh, what do we do?
I had to get a bigger car just to accommodate our kids going to the student leadership conference. Just saying.
What do you take? What do you not take?
For 3 days. Yeah. So you're not, let me be clear that you're not saying we all should go into mission work and leave for Thailand. You're saying.
Our mission field, I think, is all around us. Every one of our mission fields look different. A school student, your mission field may be your classmates. It may be the teammates on your team at school. In the office, it may be a coworker. Our mission field is all around us, and I think it's looking to God for his leading. And, okay, who is that next? You know, you mentioned the gas station attendant. You know, is God prompting me to say something to that person? I think to myself every day, God, what am I missing? You know, who have I not spoke to that you were leading me to speak to because I was too afraid or wasn't confident in the Holy Spirit's power through us? I think that happens all the time to all of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think our mission field looks different for every one of us. God's not calling every one of us to go to Thailand or Southeast Asia.
Well, and I think as a church, we want to be a church that has impact. And so I remember when you were here in February, and we were pushing through some stuff financially, and Joe's not here, but Joe Pratt, who sits on the, he comes running up after your presentation saying, we're going to help. And I'm thinking, okay, God, general fund budget just to make the electric bill work? And Joe said, no, we're going to leverage this. And then through his relationship, and both things got accomplished. Because we're still here. Lights are on and we're doing ministry. But that tension of how God wants us to be faithful and to trust the process that he'll provide. And so thanks for taking the risk, I guess. I wrestle with my own ideas like, wow, how do you do that? Because I know when I went to Kenya, it broke my heart. They called me the weeping pastor because I'd meet these kids and it's just like, how do I, and they all have contentment that we don't have as Americans. And so with that, so we're going to sing a song that actually is a song that's meaningful to Ryan. None of you have ever heard it. It's put out by a band called Sanctus Real. And so in these moments, you can just sit, and if you feel at a point, because it talks about the confidence that we all need to have, that confident confidence. And so the words will be on the screen, and then we'll pray. So watch this.